Welcome to Metro on KGNU. I'm Shakita Yarbrough, and I'm here on the first Monday of every month with my show, Victorious Single Parent. Today, my guest is Kathleen McGoy, the Executive Director of Longmont Community Justice Partnership, and we'll be discussing how we can create and restore justice in our community. Good afternoon, Kathleen.
Good afternoon, Shakita. Thanks for having me here.
Thank you for sharing your time and your knowledge today. Can you please tell us a little bit about the Longmont Community Justice Partnership?
So Longmont Community Justice Partnership, or LCJP, is a nonprofit working primarily in Longmont to provide restorative justice services to the community and also restorative practices training in schools and community agencies in Longmont and throughout the state. And our primary service of restorative justice is offered through our partnership with Longmont Public Safety and Longmont Municipal Courts and Probation. So what that looks like is when a crime occurs and police respond to the call, if the offender, or what we call the responsible person, is taking responsibility, and the victim, who we call the harmed party, is okay with the case not going to court, the officer can choose to refer the case to LCJP instead of writing a ticket or making an arrest. So the case comes directly to our staff. Our staff will call the harmed parties and responsible persons directly, make sure the case is eligible, make sure people want to participate. And then our staff matches the case with two trained volunteer facilitators. And just to pause there, the cases that we work with are all different levels. Petty, misdemeanor, or felony level charges can be referred. The only charges that we don't work with are domestic violence and sex assault, traffic, or anything that carries a mandatory sentence. And we work with youth and adults of all ages from 10 years old up. And so many different members of our community are eligible. Three quarters of our cases are youth, are individuals under the age of 18. So back to the timeline or the case flow, two volunteer facilitators will receive information about the case. They will meet with each responsible person and harm party directly in what we call a pre-conference. And that's where a lot of the storytelling comes up. We really get a better sense of what happened, making sure that the responsible person is truly taking responsibility and won't cause any additional harm when they sit down to meet with the harmed party. And we also make sure that the harmed party is going to have their needs met, is going to feel respected and safe in that environment. So after that pre-conference, there's what we call a restorative justice conference or a community group conference. And that involves each of the responsible persons and harmed parties, the two facilitators, two trained volunteer community members, and the police officer who referred the case. And they meet and basically have a group dialogue that revolves around the questions of what happened, who was impacted or who was affected and how, and what can be done to make things right. So in that process, we really focus on understanding the full extent of harms from the responsible person's actions. So that's why the community members are there, to talk about some of the impacts that maybe aren't as obvious, that, you know, the harmed party or the victim may be able to say, this is specifically what happened to me. And the community members can say, this is how your choice impacted our broader community. You know, we feel less safe, or I'm not sure that I want to go into that park anymore because that's where the fight took place, or that's where the graffiti is. So the responsible person hears those harms and then identifies what he or she is willing to do to repair the harms. And the whole group helps to brainstorm ideas for those repairs. We narrow down those ideas through a consensus process so that the responsible person will have 3 to 5 specific actions that they can take to repair harms, and those go into a contract. And if the responsible person is successful in completing all of those actions by a given deadline, they won't have any criminal charge on their record.
So what are the requirements to be eligible for this process?
The basic requirements are that the responsible person needs to be taking ownership for their actions. They need to be saying, yes, I'm responsible and I'm willing to be held accountable for the harms that are identified that resulted from my choice. And the harm party needs to be okay with the case not going to court. And so if at any point a harm party says, you know, I don't want this case going to restorative justice, then LCJP won't move forward with the case. We'll refer it back to the referring agency. And so those are sort of the baseline requirements. From there, you know, there's different thresholds of responsibility that we're looking for. So is that responsible person able to hear from different people, you know, hear from strangers, from the community about the range of impacts that resulted from their actions? And will they say, yes, I can take ownership of that and I'm willing to make repairs? So we're looking for that next step of seeing, you know, maybe I'm going to learn about some harms that I didn't initially know about, and I'm willing to identify what I can do to try to repair those harms and make things right.
What about people that may not be citizens, may not be documented?
Thanks for asking that, Shakita. That's something that we're really grateful that we're able to provide services to undocumented people. We don't have to ask any questions about their status as citizens. If they have a visa, if they have a green card, none of that is really factored into our ability to provide services. And that can be such a relief to families. Right. You can imagine, I can think of a case with a 16-year-old who had shoplifted. He shared that it was the first time that he had ever tried stealing from a store. He was taking headphones, so many people would think this is not the crime of the century, and yet still, you know, is an important case for us, an important experience for him to learn from. And his mother was very concerned because she is undocumented and she was in a process, you know, a process that's years and years and years long. But she felt like she was making progress towards getting her papers worked out so that she would have a permanent residency. And she was terrified that her son was going to end up in the criminal justice system and that would really cause a detour in her efforts to become documented. And fortunately, we could allay her fears and say, you know, we do really think it's important that your son completes the restorative justice process, because it certainly doesn't help if he ends up with a criminal charge on his record. And when he goes through our process, we don't have to notify any authorities or ever even talk about what your paperwork looks like, what your status is here.
You're listening to Metro on KGNU. I'm Shakita Yarbrough, and I'm here on the first Monday of every month with my show, Victorious Single Parent. Today, my guest is Kathleen McGoy, the Executive Director of Longmont Community Justice Partnership. And we are discussing how we, as a community, can create and restore justice. Kathleen, you were just stating that it did not matter if you are undocumented, as long as you're eligible to be a part of this program, meaning the responsible party and the harm party are both are willing to work together. Now, you mentioned that you have 2 trained facilitators. What are the requirements to be a facilitator? Are they attorneys, or what do you have to be, or what do you have? What type of training does one have to be or have to be a facilitator?
Thanks for asking. No, we don't have any professional requirements for our facilitators. It's really a pretty amazing thing. We have at any given time a pool of about 30 trained facilitators and that we can pull from. And these are people who really are just interested in learning skills and communication techniques to be able to facilitate a dialogue. And so we work with facilitators of all ages, all backgrounds. We have a handful of people who have worked as teachers or counselors, all the way to custodial workers, engineers, people who have worked with youth, people who haven't worked with youth, people who are retired. Really, what we ask of our facilitators is a willingness to be challenged and also to be self-reflective, because often when we step into these situations where we're facilitating within somebody else's conflict, some of our past baggage or triggers mm-hmm. come up, and we need our facilitators to be willing to look at themselves and make sure that in their role, they're not going to cause any additional harm because of personal stories that right. might come up. It can be very challenging, and so we offer ongoing training and support to our facilitators. We have a culture of feedback, so we coach and provide feedback after every process so that nothing kind of goes unaddressed and our facilitators feel supported.
So what is the success rate of this program, or the reoffense rate of the program with the people that are involved in it?
We have a 90% success rate with our responsible parties completing their contracts to repair harm. And equally, if not more important with that, is that about 99% of our harm parties report feeling that the responsible person was held accountable for their actions through the restorative justice process. And so while people are interested in the success of a responsible person reducing recidivism, really what we will always want to look at first is, was that harm party feeling like their needs were met? From there, when we do look at recidivism, we had a study conducted of our LCJP data from 2007 to 2009 that showed that only about 10% of responsible parties would reoffend within the first year of completing their contract. Mm-hmm. And we're actually really excited. Maybe I can come back on the show in a year or so, because we're having an updated recidivism study conducted by a few professors at the University of Colorado Boulder. And so we're really going to take a more in-depth look at what recidivism looks like for those who go through our process.
90%, that is great. That is successful, very successful.
Yeah, thank you.
So since 75%, three quarters of your responsible parties are under the age of 18, what's the percentage that you would say roughly those minors that come from a single parent home?
Good question. You know, we don't track that specific piece of information. I would venture to say that at least a third are coming from a single parent home. I only know that from when I worked initially at LCJP, I was a case coordinator, so I worked closely with these families. And one of the things that's really important to us is that while we have to have some structure and limitations to our program, we do try to work with families in a way that's not going to cause too much additional harm. So trying to schedule meetings and processes at a time when a single parent can participate without having to miss too much work. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's really hard to schedule around, but we do our best to try to be flexible so that the family isn't suffering additional consequences with finances and time and work attendance.
Exactly. You know, that's one of the reasons why I really wanted to have you on the show to talk about this program, because I think that a lot of single parents are so can be overwhelmed with just everyday life and dealing with situations, and sometimes the kids can be acting out at school because the single parent could be working two jobs and may not be at home as much. Maybe financial strain on the household. So if not even just the kid, but the parent or something, but most of the time it's, it can be the kid that's the child hanging out with the wrong group and get caught up in some activity that they should not be involved with. And I just think it's important for the parent to know that there are other alternatives out in our community that they can research and contact and say, hey, let's at least see if you're eligible for this program. As far as, so now that we know that the eligibility is, the harm party saying, okay, I'm willing to work with this responsible person, the offender, to say, okay, let's call of facilitators and let's, work this thing out, and so that this minor won't have this offense on their record. And that, to me, is helping the community in the long run, because a lot of times when teenagers get into trouble, it's just because they're bored, or because the lack of attention, or maybe the because the other parent is not at home on a full-time basis. And so, they look at maybe someone in the street, a gang, or other friends that are mischievous and as their family or their secondary family. And then they grow up eventually, and they learn that those were mistakes that they had made, and then they apply for these jobs, and they may get trained, go to college, and have these awesome degrees, and can't even get the job that they want because of something that they made a mistake at the age of 16 or 17 years old. And so that is why I think this program is crucial and so important to have in all communities over the United States of America. So because we all have been 17 before that are adults and parents or whatever, and we all make mistakes all the time. Mm-hmm. And so just to have that grace with kids in our community for the harm to say, I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to help out. And that makes the community stronger.
Yes.
And that is why I love this program. And I want the VSPers, my single parents, to look up the information, go on www.lcjp.org and find out more. If you are undocumented, it doesn't matter. You can get on the website or you can call 303-776-1527 and ask questions. Just ask questions and get informed. That's very important that you get information about what's going on in your community that can help you. There are services out here that can help you and your family. And if you have a mind, you don't know what to do, you need help, and they're constantly showing you activity that is not good for your household, that would get them in trouble. You know what it is. You know what it looks like. Call and find out what you can do or who you need to talk to prevent, further action of criminal action, I guess I should say. Are there programs with, I know you guys work with the Longmont Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
So are there signs or programs that I know you have community? Let's talk about the community justice. I know you mentioned community members.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that. And I also want to talk about your pilot program in the schools as
mm-hmm.
well.
Yeah, thanks. So, yeah, the community member's role is one, to participate by talking about what the impacts are to the community. So, an example would be if there's a crime taking place in my neighborhood and I see squad cars showing up there, am I still going to feel safe in my neighborhood? I might start thinking differently about where I live. Maybe I think Longmont is less safe. with our youth community members, we really, really ask them to speak with their peers about youth reputation. So when, you know, I think a pretty clear example that comes up a lot is around theft and shoplifting. Mm-hmm. And our youth community members are able to say, like, man, it's really lame when I walk into a store, it feels like I'm being watched, or I have to leave my backpack at the counter because people just assume that because I'm a teenager, I might try to steal something. And so what can we do as teens to try to dispel that stereotype that we're not all a bunch of kids who are coming in to cause trouble and aren't thinking of others? Another piece that our community members play a really important role in is identifying ways that the responsible person can repair harms. So what happens in our process, and this is something that might be helpful for your listeners to think about, is the responsible person has a lot of time in that circle where they're talking about what they did wrong, essentially, what they did that caused harm. And they can really start feeling kind of heavy and sad, remorseful, embarrassed, guilty about that. And then we sort of shift gears in the process where the facilitator will talk about who that responsible person is outside of this one incident. So what are their strengths, their interests, their talents? What do they want to do when they grow up? Do they want to go to college? Do they want to go into the military, learn a vocational skill and get a job? And so our community members will listen to those strengths and assets and try to connect repair ideas, so what the responsible person will do to repair harms, to those strengths. So what happens in that is, you know, you have a group of strangers listening to all the things that you did that were hurtful, and then all of a sudden the tone of the conversation changes and these community members say, hey, we see who you are. We see that this one choice that you made doesn't define who you are as a person, and we want you, Shakita, the whole person, to come back into our community, and here's what we're asking you to do to reintegrate as a restored person who we're not defining as a thief, a burglar, someone who does, you know, criminal mischief, a vandal. We see you as Shakita, the person who loves your siblings or who really enjoys soccer or wants to, you know, join the Navy one day. And so the community members help contribute to that real process of reinforcing that you're valuable to us, you're valuable to our community. And that can be very, very powerful for somebody who has been sitting in guilt, and we want to move them away from a feeling of shame towards a feeling of agency. I have capacity. I have, you know, I'm empowered to make choices for my own life.
So not intimidating, basically very nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what a young person need anyway, mm-hmm. is nurturing and saying, just being pointed out, hey, this is not acceptable, but we love you. You're part of the community. Let's make this happen. Let's make this work for your future.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
And so then the school program, that the pilot program within the schools, to me, that's a preventative
mm-hmm.
program that's going on.
Correct. Yeah, it's the school's programs have a preventative aspect and an intervention aspect. So what LCJP provides is training and coaching and implementation support for any school that's interested in trying to shift towards a more restorative culture. So what that means is, how do we prioritize those pillars of restorative justice, of respect, responsibility, relationship? How do we really focus on those so that we prevent conflict from occurring? So that looks like really trying to use methods in the classroom where students have equal voice, they have an opportunity to talk about what how they need to participate safely and respectfully with each other in the classroom. We work with teachers to have tools to address conflict in the moment. So trying to avoid those, the last resort being sending a child out of the room to the office where they have to go talk to an administrator, which may not lead to the teacher actually having resolution himself or herself. And of course, with complete support of teachers, we always want teachers to feel safe. So there are occasions where they may need to ask a child to leave the room. But if they can, we want them to keep the child in the classroom, connected with their peers, and repair relationships there so that all the students are learning those skills and learning expectations about how they need to be respectful with others, how they need to have safe participation so that they can be in the classroom learning. And on the intervention side, we work with schools to have tools to try to avoid relying so much on suspension and expulsion, so we can use that restorative justice process in a school as an alternative to the more traditional disciplinary outcomes of suspensions and expulsions.
Is this offered in the whole state of Colorado? Or just Longmont?
It's definitely not just Longmont. We, in Colorado, we are really at a leading edge of implementation of restorative practices and restorative justice. We have a restorative justice state council, which is really valuable for our state, where there's funding available for new and developing restorative justice programs in the community and schools. And so it is found, these programs are found throughout the state, and you can actually visit rjcolorado.org to find out more information about who's doing what kind of work in this field throughout the state.
And also, is the school pilot program, is that also throughout the state or just Longmont?
We are working, LCGP is working in the Adams 12 5-star school district because they had an interest and they received some funding from the Colorado Department of Education. So LCJP is interested in working with any schools or districts that want to make that commitment moving forward. We work in St. Vrain Valley schools. We do some training here in Boulder Valley. So I think if school administrators or teachers are interested in learning more, they're welcome to contact us, and we can also try to provide additional resources to get them the support that they need.
Just give us something for single parents to think about with their kids about when you see some behavior that's not, good for the household, or when they just see things that shouldn't be, that's not right, what can they do, or how should they feel, or who can they call? I know they could already gave out the number in the website, but what are some of your takeaways on that?
Oh, thanks for asking that. I think one of the main things that we talk with parents about is just reflecting back to their child, that piece of this is one choice that you made or one action that you took, and it doesn't need to define who you are. Maybe your actions had a harmful impact and that wasn't your intent, but what can you do with your strengths and talents to repair the harm caused by that impact? We want to see you as a whole person. We don't think that you're bad and we're going to punish you until forever, until you learn your lesson. Let's work, take measures. Let's work together. Let's be a team, parent and child, to help identify how the child can use their own abilities and tap into that identity of I am a resourced person and I can try to make things right.
Thank you so much. My guest today was Kathleen McGoy, the Executive Director of Longmont Community Justice Partnership. And you can find out more information about the Longmont Community Justice Partnership at www.lcjp.org. You've been listening to Metro on KGNU. I've been your host, Shakita Yarbrough, and you can hear me on the first Monday of every month with my show, Victorious Single Parent, discussing issues that concern single parent families. Thank you, Kathleen, and I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Shakita. It's an honor to be here.